Hey everybody, welcome to Two Out the First. It is April the 16th, 2024. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for being here. Yesterday was kind of crazy with the finish to the Masters, and then I did my taxes yesterday. One of my least favorite days of the year, even though I got a refund this year, which I'm not like, hey, bragging about, but it was just, it's not a fun day. It's not a fun process. And if I did it even on January 2nd or 3rd, I don't get all my documents that early, but even if I could do it then, I still wouldn't enjoy doing it. There's got to be a better way. But that all said, we're here now. We've got plenty to talk about. We've got the post-Masters chatter to talk about. We've got some data points to talk about. We've got some comments from Rory McIlroy we need to talk about. So lots to get to in this show. Today, we are presented by our friends at GolfLink. Check them out, golflink.com, GolfLync.com. Or you can find their app on the App Store for your Apple devices or Google Play if you are an Android user like me. They are a new and budding golf-themed social network. I'm on there posting about my game on a daily basis. We have a Golf News Net account there that includes all of our social content, too, that we share through other platforms. Really, really enjoy it. Have met a bunch of great people through GolfLink. You can set up virtual golf clubs, so you can set up games and times. You can attract new players, meet new people, find out new people to play golf with in your area or when you're traveling. It's a great platform. Check them out at golflink.com. Again, type in GolfLink for your app store, whether that's Google Play or on Apple devices, and you can download and install the app today. All right, so first thing let's talk about, Rory McIlroy is not going to live. He's not going to live. The rumor was out there for like the first time that I'd seen it published. I guess that was Monday or Sunday. I think it was Monday, from a paper called City AM, or I should say a publication called City AM. It's a London-based financial publication. And a couple of their reporters had their name on the byline. I'm not familiar with City AM. I'm not going to waste time going into it too much. But they published what they called an analysis, kind of like a commentary, which kind of shielded them under UK law around what you can and cannot publish, to suggest that Rory McIlroy was very deep into a deal with LIV Golf valued at $850 million in which he would sign to play for the league and he would gain something like a 2% equity stake in LIV Golf. Not a team, but LIV Golf, right? And that, you know, this could happen any day now kind of thing. And I found it really interesting, one, because I'm looking up from taxes going, what, Rory to LIV? And then, two, recognizing very quickly who reported it and knowing that that was kind of full of crap. So, a little backstory here. I had heard this rumor in March around the Arnold Palmer Invitational. I had heard it from a couple different folks. I had kind of looked into it. There was a lot of kind of desperate chatter around it, almost like some people who were on the PGA Tour side of things had convinced themselves this thing could happen. And tried to do some sourcing, tried to do some looking into it. I even talked to some folks who I am friendly with that are connected on the LIV side. And they had heard similar things. But there's no, you know, maybe there was a little bit of smoke, but that there wasn't enough certainly to go public with it and just kind of leave it where it was. And then here we are, and the same dollar figures that were thrown out in the City AM report were thrown out to me. Somewhere between $850 and $1 billion, you know, $1 million and $1 billion. And I had not heard the equity piece of it, I will admit to that, but basically heard the same rumor. And it's been out there for a while. And then it obviously picks up yet again with this City AM report. And then forces Rory McIlroy to go talk to Todd Lewis of Golf Channel. Todd Lewis does a great job. He's excellent. And he got an interview on the range with McIlroy at Harbortown today, just a few minutes ago, just before we started recording this. And it kind of worked out nicely because I was on a different call getting ready to before I was recording this. And you know, this interview with Todd Lewis comes out. And then he basically says, look, there's no truth to this. I never had an offer on the table, which I don't entirely believe that. But McIlroy says to Todd Lewis, quote, I will play the PGA Tour for the rest of my career, end quote. And that puts it to bed once again. So this is like the third or fourth time in the space of, it feels like, 2 or 3 months where someone has put out a rumor or insinuated, Chubby Chandler, his former agent, being one of them, insinuating that McElroy could or would or is imminently going to live for some exorbitant sum of money, even though he has repeatedly said he doesn't like LIV Golf. He doesn't like Greg Norman. He wants LIV Golf to go away, even though he wants a deal with the Saudis. And yet again, is forced to step in front of a camera lens and go, hey guys, for the nth time, that's not true. This isn't happening. I'm not going to LIV. Which makes you believe, once again, that a lot of this stuff that comes out there, and it isn't as nearly as frequent as it used to be, right? But all that stuff that comes out is driven entirely from the LIV side. It's meant to be disruptive. It's meant to be annoying. And part of me almost thinks, and this isn't the nicest thing to say, but part of me almost wants to think that Greg Norman walked alongside of McElroy at the Masters trying to get his attention in an attempt to stir the pot. And that he knew if McElroy didn't give him any attention, didn't give him any eye contact, that could mean Norman had a point. Or that if he did, he could also have a point. It's kind of like one of those, no matter what McElroy does, it feeds the fire kind of things. And then there you have the City AM stuff. You got people who, the City AM people said they had two sources. Now, the two sources could be their left and their right hand, for all we know. But the reality is, Rory McIlroy has said way too many times, way more than John Rahm ever did, that he hates LIV, hates, use the word hate, and was not planning on ever going anywhere but the PGA Tour. And yes, he stepped down from the board because he disagrees with the expediency at which the negotiations with the Saudis are happening. But for all the people that have said McElroy has changed his tune or softened his stance about the Saudis, you people who have said that have not been paying attention. I am sorry to inform you. McElroy has said for the better part of a year, maybe a year and a half, that if the Saudis want to get involved in golf, they should invest in the proper channels. And by that he meant, take your money out of LIV and put it in the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour. Forget trying to start a new tour. It's not going to work. We're not going to support you. But if you put your money to work in the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, I'm cool with it. He has said that explicitly many, many, many times. He met with Yasser Al-Rumayyan in the fall of 2022 in Dubai to get a sense of what he wanted from golf. That's been public knowledge for the better part of a year now. Almost a year. And he has explicitly said everything he has said. Now, he might not have said it with the same kind of tone, right? And I agree that in that literal sense, his tone has softened about this. And he doesn't talk as much about it. But what he has said, the content of what he has said, has been remarkably consistent. And it has been preyed upon as a PR campaign of sorts for LIV. Whenever one of these quotes comes out and then people go, oh, he's softening his stance. No, he really hasn't. He really has not. So, I'm not trying to be a fanboy for Rory McIlroy here. I don't know the guy. I don't really get to cover tournaments with him. I have no personal contact with him. But if you're going to accuse a guy of being a hypocrite or inconsistent, at least get it right. And most of the people who have gotten it wrong are the people who don't know what they're talking about. Enter City AM into that Hall of Fame of people who don't know what the F they're talking about. So, there's that. There's a rumor killer there. And good for Todd Lewis to do it. Good for McElroy and his people to say, you know what, we got to kill this thing too. Let's get it out there. Let's get it done. And that's great. So, congratulations to everybody involved for a day's worth of rumor spreading. And then to have it immediately killed the second McElroy steps in front of a camera and wants to address it. I tweeted about this yesterday. I was sitting in a parking lot because my daughter had a dance class and I had to wait for it to be done. And I wanted to explain to people that this thing's been out there for a while, right? This rumor has been out there for more than a month now. And maybe even closer to two. And yet, you'd never heard anybody in golf talk about that rumor seriously. And the reason being is that there, if there were legitimate smoke to a legitimate fire, someone in golf would have sussed it out, figured it out. Case in point, James Corrigan at the Telegraph. He is the man. He is the guy who has drilled practically everything on this subject. Practically everything. He doesn't speak unless he knows. And he knows people who know these kinds of things. So, for as much as I love that you listen to me, and I appreciate that, if you want to know who's going to live and who's not, what's happening to live and what isn't, James Corrigan's your man. You want to talk to that guy. You want to hear what he has to say. Eamon Lynch is going to be up there somewhat on live, more on the PGA Tour side, but those guys are going to check out pretty often. Their information is going to check out almost all the time. And it's all of the kind of second tier, third tier people who do just solely aggregation or have bad sources and they refuse to acknowledge they have bad sources. You know, that stuff, I mean, Matt Vicenzi got at Golf WRX. I don't know Matt Vicenzi, and he does content for us on GNN Radio. He got on Tony Finau going to live. Now, did he have it dead to rights and things changed? I don't know. I don't necessarily have that impression, but he might have. But when you put stuff out like that and you get it wrong, it hurts your reputation a little bit. And that's why you don't say it unless you know it's done. And that's where James Corrigan gets it right. Because he's an old school journalist who does things the right way. So, there you go. There you have it. Rory's not going to live. He's not going to be a billionaire. Because of that, at least. He's already got more money than he'll ever need, which he has said repeatedly. He'll be fine. So, he's going to be at the Heritage this week. Got a good feel for that tournament. I have no idea how many people are going to follow up and watch the Heritage this week. It's a signature event now. It was a designated event last year when you got a really great finish with Fitzpatrick and Spieth. And you had a fascinating little playoff there. Spieth won the year prior to that. So he's got a good history of the tournament. You've got a great field. 42 of the world top 50 in the official world golf ranking. Whatever you think about that. And it should be a great weekend. It's an antithetical golf course to Augusta National in terms of how tight it is, how short it is, the demands of it, the size of the greens. Everything is different at Harbortown. And I really love Harbortown. I've had the good fortune to play it before, although it's been about 10 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that now, since I played it. But it's a really fun golf course in a different kind of tournament that's a perfect follow for the Masters. But I really am concerned about how many people are interested in professional golf at this point. The ratings came out for Sunday at the Masters this morning, which was really going to be the original jumping off point for the conversation today. And then we were probably going to talk a little bit about Rory in the back end, and then we went the other way because of Todd Lewis's stuff. But Josh Carpenter, who is great, he is at Sports Business Journal, and he has been all over all kinds of things on the business side of this kind of disruption in golf. He has been tweeting the Nielsen figures, him, I'd say Josh A. Carpenter on Twitter or X if you're on there, or Sports TV Ratings is also another great one on X. I'm not a subscriber to Nielsen. Those guys get that data because their business is subscribed to it, so they could put it out there first. But if you look at the viewership numbers as Josh put out there this morning, they're bad for the Masters. They were great on Thursday and Friday. It was like a 30% increase on Thursday and Friday because people wanted to watch Tiger play. And they came in droves to watch him break the consecutive cuts record. And they wanted to see if he could do it. And then once they quickly realized he was not going to win, they tuned it out to the tune of a 20% drop from last year. So Josh says that CBS drew 9,589,000 viewers on average for the final round of the Masters, which is, again, down 20% from last year when John Rahm kind of had a little bit of a romp in the end and wound up pulling away from the field to beat Brooks Koepka, surging Phil Mickelson, Patrick Reed was in there, Spieth, I mean, you had a whole bunch of people in there and kind of the beef late in the end, but it was a runaway by the time we got to the 18th green. Same thing happened with Scottie Scheffler winning by four in the end. I mean, they were tied with, what, 10 holes left, 7 holes left, or 11 holes left, whatever it was. It was still an interesting contest heading into the 11th hole for the final group, and then splat. I mean, that was it. But it was a cakewalk the rest of the way for Scheffler, who wound up winning by 4. But that number, that 9.589 million, is the lowest of, outside of, I mean, basically 3 of the last 5 years have been the lowest years for Masters viewership in the final round. The lowest since 2021, when Hideki Matsuyama also won in a runaway 9.45 million, excluding the 2020 Masters in November. And I think you could take a couple of things away from that experience, though, the numbers then, the November Masters, then an April 2021 Masters, 2 Masters in 6 months. That's kind of weird, kind of takes away from the how special it is, right? Yeah, you had the same tournament twice. That was bound to happen. But also runaway wins in 21, 22, 23, 24. Not helpful, right? I mean, the Masters is at its best when it's close. And as I've said repeatedly on this show, people will watch a lot of tournament golf when they know it's close. And if you watch, and I get to see this on my end in terms of website viewers and visitors, but when you get close to the end, like, and it's close, you can see people start to be more interested in the tournament, whether that's a playoff, whether that's a close tournament, especially a playoff. But if it's really close and interesting, you'll see people pile up because they'll either hear about it on social media or text threads with friends or phone calls, whatever it is. But there is a literal communications tree that generates interest. It just happens. And when you get into a blowout, the reverse kind of can happen. That all said, last year's tournament was on Master Sunday, right? John Rahm won on Master Sunday. That's a stay-at-home holiday for people. That is definitely a factor in this, right? Tiger not being a part of it is a small factor, but people knew that by Saturday. So I don't think that, and he wasn't a factor last year, of course, because he had to withdraw with the plantar fasciitis. So and that was Sunday. But that was a mess too. That was a marathon day. I don't want to say that all of the 20% is for any one reason. That's not how things work. That's not how life is. There's always lots of reasons things happen. We just like to simplify and compartmentalize and kind of block out the stuff that we don't want to acknowledge as reality. But the reality is, TV ratings are down across the board this year, with notable exceptions, right? The Valero Texas Open was up because it was on Easter. Otherwise, and it had a playoff finish that was interesting. Otherwise, that would have probably been flat to down, mildly down. That's your best data point in months on the PGA Tour. Months. Basically, since the tour schedule went to network TV on the weekends. That would be your best data point. The Players was down 10%, even though you had a really fun finish. Really fun finish. Scottie Scheffler won that. So for the people who go, Scottie's not interesting, that ain't it, man. I promise you, that ain't it. People watch Scottie Scheffler play golf. The problem is that blowouts don't work as well, right? I mean, when you know for 6 holes it's a stroll and the best golfer in the world is just going to kill everybody, that the people are going to kind of tune that out for a while. But I think the bigger piece of this, the biggest chunk of the explanation, is people are mad at golf. Now, that could be the PGA Tour and LIV Golf infighting, could be the greed of the game, it could be the whole disruption. And the term I used in tweeting about this was the greedy disruptors. That's LIV Golf, because they started it. But then it's also the PGA Tour totally upending its schedule, telling you what explicitly what does and doesn't matter by having signature events. That has not helped their schedule in terms of viewership. It just hasn't. And then you come to a week like this where it's supposed to be about the golf, and it is, but at the same time, you still got conversations about that. You still got big topics around that. There's been no deal made. It seems like there's no reason for it to come together any sooner. I think that's a bigger part of the 20% drop than anything. Easter has something to do with it, of course. This blowout, there's a lot of things that are, and maybe to a degree you have, and I think we have talked about this before not recently when the show. Golf had an incredible run in the pandemic, brought a lot more people into watching golf because it was one of the first sports to come back, right? And it didn't require a crowd to work. And you could have crowds again because you could have them outside. And that kind of felt normal. People watched golf, I think, in good numbers. But then LIV came along, the PGA Tour. That didn't necessarily affect it right away, but they devalued the fall. That killed it. Then next season, they told you what didn't matter. You had more tumult, and now we still have that here. We still have this state of flux. We're more than 2 years into this, and it's just not getting better. It's getting worse. And the notion that these four tournaments, having all the best players together, would be a bigger draw, so far that is not, and this year has not proven to be the case. And that is a big concern for all of those reasons. My hope is that this is the worst of it, but I could see a scenario where the PGA Championship's down 25%. Why couldn't you see if this? I mean, this is the best golf tournament in the world in terms of viewership, and it was down 20% for a variety of reasons. But many of those reasons will still apply, except the Easter thing, in a month. And Valhalla is, no offense to Valhalla, it's a lovely place, but it's not Augusta National. So it's not a draw to watch just the course, even if it is a blowout. It's very concerning. It's very concerning. People on both sides should be very concerned about what damage has been done and the reality that no deal between the sides can undo it easily. None. And I am firm, even more convinced of it now, that even if there is a deal, it might even make things worse before it makes it better. Just might. Because the people who are PGA Tour backers and have been watching the PGA Tour regardless and will watch it regardless, you might even turn off some of them if you see another handshake between Aubermeyer and Monahan on TV going, well, we figured it out. Everything's great again. That ain't going to do it. And I think that the only thing that can bring people back in a niche or individual or a niche individual sport is a superstar, is someone who is generational and compelling and interesting. And I know people like to say Scheffler's boring. Did you watch Jack Nicklaus play golf? He was boring, really boring. He always did the right thing. It's very boring golf, but he was so good at it and such a prolific winner, you had to watch. That's your best chance with Scottie Scheffler if he is your superstar of the future, and it increasingly feels like he's going to be the one. If he's the one and just beats up people again and again and again and again and again, people are going to watch him. They watch Nicklaus, they're going to watch him. He's going to evolve as a person, now becoming a dad, maybe becomes more emotive, who knows, but it has very little to do, in my opinion, with Scheffler being a guy who just doesn't show a ton of emotion. Because Nicklaus Demmer showed a ton of emotion. So, just pump the brakes on that. But there are a lot of things to be concerned about. There isn't just one reason. You can't fix Easter on your calendar. But there are a lot of other things that need addressing. And I don't know that you can address them all. All right, that's going to do it for us today on the show. Tomorrow we'll talk, hopefully, a little bit about the RBC Heritage. Hopefully, we get some fun comments in the news conferences. We'll see what happens. Later today, we will record our show, The Press, which is our golf betting podcast. You can subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts. One of my goals for today, actually, is to set up the Golf News Net Radio YouTube channel, so you'll be able to listen to Golf News Net Radio while on YouTube and live. We'll have a nice visual for it. Cool drone footage and stuff like that, but you'll be able to listen to the station that way. And we'll put all of our podcasts available there. Since now they're making podcasts available on YouTube, you can listen on that platform. We're going to just take all of our shows and put them on there. And that way, generate another place for you to be able to consume that radio content. Last week was the biggest week ever for the radio station, and it was awesome to see. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with another show. If you got any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky, @RyanBalaji. I am on Facebook and YouTube at Ryan Balaji Golf. and you can find us on your favorite social media service at the handle Golf News Net. Thank you for listening again. We will talk to you tomorrow on Two Off the First.